Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary.
With Dr. Lara Greaves this morning. Kia ora, Lara. How are you today?
Morena. You know how it is. In Auckland too, right?
Oh, so yes.
It's good, but...
Yep, that's pretty much the vibe. It is day 93, which is a long time to be in lockdown. And we've had some changes this week. Obviously, kids at primary school and at intermediate have headed back as of yesterday in sort of quite a different setup to how we'd normally expect schooling to roll. You've got kids. How has this sort of situation been for you?
Yeah, so I've got a 3.5-year-old who headed back to daycare yesterday, and he was a bit pensive, but then, you know, he saw the big dinosaur toys and got right into it, right? So it's interesting with a 3.5-year-old. But basically, I think that this one of those things that's been a really hard decision, and different schools and different daycares and different high schools have gone through different decision-making processes and as to how to work all of this as well, and the technicalities and the safety. I think one of the things that really, like, I just give a little sort of shout out to the other parents, one of the things that really kind of helped me was reading the work of paediatrician and research fellow Dr. Jin Russell. So she's written pieces for Newsroom and been doing a little bit of the sort of public science communication around kids and COVID, and I really felt like, you know, she sort of speaks about, in terms of balancing the risk for our children, that it's not one of those things that for children that don't have an underlying condition, that they're fine, they're going to be fine. And it's like sometimes you just need a lot of people to tell you it's going to be fine, because it's nerve-wracking being a parent at the best of times.
Totally.
So yes, ultimately it's that collective balancing of risk and needs as well. And like personally, in a past life, because I've got a political psychology background, I taught first-year psychology, including a lot of developmental-type psych stuff at AUT, and a bit of tutoring in Auckland in that space, and it is, in terms of child social development, I can see the sort of risks to children longer term around child social development and not being in schools, and just little things like as the parent of a toddler, that just things like toilet training and all of those sorts of things that sometimes need that social modelling. So I can see that on a population basis, that's an incredibly tricky decision. And just ultimately also speaking about the mandate as well, the mandate for education staff needing to be vaccinated, that's been another really interesting thing to actually see how few teachers and how few medical staff that is affecting.
Yeah, it has been an interesting thing to see that roll out. I guess we've seen this across the whole pandemic, that it is a minority who don't want to be vaccinated, but they are a very vocal minority, so they do seem to take up quite a bit of time in the media and space in that kind of lens as well. Do you think that we're having the right conversations, particularly when it comes to talking about mandates and talking about in those spaces for healthcare and education particularly, where it gets quite tense when we talk about it in the media? Do you think we're having the right conversations around that at the moment, or would you like to see something different perhaps?
I think we're seeing some really tricky stuff happening. I mean, a lot of people, like I've been talking to, or the media and other people that I've been talking to have been saying, you know, this polarisation is sad to see. And I'm like, well, it's not really polarisation, because it's not the centre right and the centre left or the big bulks of people moving apart. It's a small group splitting off, and that is on an individual basis for people is incredibly heartbreaking, because a lot of us have whānau in those groups that it's hard to know how to interact, and it's stressful, and you're worried about their health and you're worried about their future, and also how that the mandates might affect them economically, and also how they might get affected by borders and other things around restrictions for unvaccinated people. So on an individual basis, that's really difficult if one of your whānau is in that, or many are in that group, and that's a very stressful thing for people. But I think ultimately we've seen 3 polls come out in the last couple of weeks. A couple showed Labor down about 4%, and the higher quality One News Combo Brunton showed Labor down about 2%. So we're not seeing this huge shift or swing away from Labor and away from mainstream politics, really. And so I think it's a tricky balance, because I've heard lots of sort of podcasts and interviews with journalists and people making those decisions, including RNZ's Media Watch, where it's a case of figuring out how to cover them, because it is thousands of people, but also to not make it seem like there's this false majority happening there.
Yeah, totally. It's a very tricky part of this whole sort of pandemic situation. Every time we get a new challenge, we just have to find a way to work through it and talk about it, don't we? Speaking of changes and things that have come about this week, yesterday we got a date from the government when Aucklanders will be able to leave. That's going to be the 15th of December. And we've also heard that on the 29th of November, the whole country is going to be moving into the alert level, the traffic light framework. And that's going to be red for Auckland. And depending on vaccination levels in various areas, that will determine what level those spaces move into. So it's been a big kind of, I think, conceptual shift for people to move from the alert level system into the traffic light system, particularly because we haven't actually moved into it yet. Everyone's sort of trying to imagine it at the moment. What's your feeling about particularly this announcement that the whole country is moving into the traffic light framework at the same time?
Oh, that's that thing where it's like all of those decisions we have to talk about and think through and all that kind of stuff. I think that their communication on this has been really mixed. Mm. I think that it's really hard to balance what looks like them flip-flopping a bit and backing down with them kind of listening to the public mm-hmm. and accusations potentially from the right that they can't really run this and they're all over the place versus, yeah, actually being in an unprecedented times and having to listen to the people and figuring out what to do. I think the steps are sensible and you know, at different dates, different things and all that kind of stuff. It's a lot to follow and a lot to comprehend. But ultimately, though, again, a lot of experts, especially Māori Pacific experts, but a lot of just general experts are being like, no, that's too quick and we needed to have higher vaccine rates. We've seen the Māori Party come out kind of pushing quite hard on a higher Māori vaccine rate before we then open the border. And then the other things that I would point to as well is just the real kind of, there's limitations with the data that they're using at the moment as well. They're using the health service user population, which underestimates people. It's based on your interactions with the health system. And so, you know, especially young Māori men are not counted in that. And that's where we are seeing certain groups with super high vaccine rates. I think it's like young Asians in Auckland because they're not necessarily counted in that population.
Right.
And they should be using the Stats NZ population. But I guess this goes back to the bungled census as well. So I think that I've got some anxieties around how they're counting people and whether they've actually got an accurate measure on a lot of those places and a lot of those DHBs, because when you're starting to think of who's using health services and you think of, like, don't mean to pick on them, but young Māori men in Tairawhiti aren't going to be heading to the doctor very often. So that's the concern, is that inequitable rollout of the vaccine, meaning that there are pockets of groups of people around that are not vaccinated and they're going to get the disproportionate burden, and the disproportionate burden of all of us as Aucklanders going, yeah, I can go up north, I can go to my batch in the Coromandel, I can go here, I can go there. And this is the other phase that we have to really be thinking about, is the ethics of a lot of us travelling into these communities. Even though we're vaccinated, like, maybe it is a case of a lot of us saying, hey, we are going to go get a test before we go, because actually Honi Harawira and others have said they don't necessarily want us there.
Yeah, and it's been interesting to see that the government said that they're now going to be working with iwi at those checkpoints at the border, which is something that, iwi in that space have been pushing for pretty much the whole way through this pandemic. And now we're seeing, I guess, a little bit of acceptance from the government to support that that community initiative there. I did want to talk a little bit about something which you've been following very closely, which comes back to this issue around data, which is this kind of ongoing conflict between the Whānau Ora Commissioning Agency and the Ministry of Health around trying to get the data for Māori vaccination rates. Can you just explain a little bit about what the actual issue is here, and why is Whānau Ora trying to get this? Why is the Ministry of Health trying to block it?
Yes, yeah, so from the start, basically what has been said going back to sort of February, March, April 2020, is that for Māori responses, like Māori community figures and people and organisations like Waipareira are going to need to run Māori parts of the vaccine rollout, because we know, like, fundamentally they're not culturally sensitive relationships between Māori and their healthcare provider, and again Māori in the broader government system. So basically what's been happening with that is, if at the moment if you are someone that's unvaccinated, you will be getting a lot of follow-ups from the Ministry of Health and from Home Care Medical and those broader organisations. What the Whānau Ora Commissioning Agency is wanting is data as to where unvaccinated people are, and they want, you know, they've got a sort of list of the stuff that they need to be able to actually most effectively send their resources, send their people, and their people know, to go and do this. The issue is they not be they like there's been like I think two. The first thing was that the court found that the initial decision the Ministry of Health made was wrong. Mm-hmm. So they went back and had to remake the decision, and they made a very similar decision and didn't give them. And at this stage, it's been back and forth in courts where Waipareire and others have been having to put resources and lawyers and all of this into the court.
Mm.
And all of the experts and stuff have had to be giving evidence and working on the court case rather than focusing on the actual enemy, which is COVID, although it's a disease, it can't be an enemy, but the actual issue is the vaccine rollout and COVID. So basically a lot of energy has gone into this when realistically, when we're looking at something like privacy in a pandemic, probably it's been argued that the privacy, the pandemic and having to face that outweighs that privacy.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got other concerns here around Māori data sovereignty.
Mm.
And that is Māori communities getting Māori data to make decisions that are best for Māori. And that those principles have not really broadly been upheld. And so we've also had seen some discussion and argument between certain iwi saying, oh, well, I don't know if they should have data. So we've got this really big sort of issue going down that really could have been foreseen, and that's the other frustration around. So the Ministry of Health, I think, I would tend to go down the more charitable route, saying that it's like a large bureaucracy, and well, some people could go down this charitable route, so it's a large bureaucracy, successive governments have gutted it,
mm-hmm.
that the public service hasn't been a great career for the last 20-odd years compared to what it was in, say, the 60s and earlier, and talk about the effects of neoliberalism on our public service. But then on the other hand, some people would say that this is pointing to what institutional racism looks like, and people not wanting to back down on their decisions, and people not wanting to actually give power and control over to Māori.
Mm.
And so that's kind of where that's all sitting, and it's, ultimately not, it's just reinforcing a lot of those experiences and a lot of those distrusting relationships that Māori have to government.
Yeah, far out. This pandemic does throw a lot of those underlying problems right into the spotlight in a pretty singular way at the moment, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think this is that thing that everyone has been concerned about from the beginning.
Yeah.
You've got people like Aisha Verrill, who's now a cabinet minister, who had written papers before the pandemic on the H1N1 virus and all that sort of stuff, showing there was inequity for Māori. You know, we've heard so much about the Spanish flu and different effects on that. Mark Dalder has a piece today talking about, say, Dame Fina Cooper's experience up in the Hokianga. And we've seen that we had every possible thing when this pandemic started, every possible piece of information indicated that this would be an inequitable pandemic. And now you've got Taunui really focusing in and making sure he creates packages of numbers so people can see what's happening for Māori in the pandemic, and he, you know, doing great work with Māori TV to really kind of keep pushing that and to make sure that people are conscious that it's going to increasingly become a disease of Māori, and that should be a concern for everyone, really.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Dr. Lara Greaves. It's really great to have a chat with you about what's going on in Aotearoa at the moment. We'll talk to you again in a few weeks, and I hope your son is enjoying being back at daycare.
Kia ora.
Kia ora.
You just heard a bit of political commentary
with